At Armstrong, your connectivity is backed by local technicians, our 24-7 network operations team, and our 24-7 customer service center. Armstrong, unmatched employees, unmatched customer care, unmatched fiber network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Armstrong in the Loop podcast. I'm your host, Seth Prentice. Today, I'm joined by Megan Shane, Outreach Manager for Parents in Toto Autism Resource Center, and Kristen Smith, Program Coordinator for Parents in Toto. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, you have a great, great organization that I've always wanted to learn more about. So why don't we start off today's show with learning more about Parents in Toto Autism Resource Center?
Absolutely. Yeah, Parents in Toto has been around for about 12 years in Zelianople. We have a physical center here in downtown Zelianople on Main Street. So if you're walking by, you can see our front window, which is always decorated and informative. And Parents in Toto started as a family support space and came out of the need of our executive director, Mary Limbacher, who was looking for an opportunity to get together with other parents and discuss the challenges within their families of living with autism, whether it was their partners or their kids or other family members. And then we became a physical center where people could come and engage in support groups. At this point, Kristen does all the programming support groups where we pack the house with large groups of young adults during a non-pandemic time. And we also have lots of other age-related support groups, and we do topical presentations as well.
Is there a certain age group that are most of the people coming to Parents in Toto?
Yeah, it's been pretty unique to see how that's transitioned over the years. But our most popular age is definitely young adults because they are generally the most underserved population. There's a lot of resources out there for elementary age. There's a lot of resources out there for even middle school age because they're still getting school supports, but there is a lot less for the young adults.
Is there a way that you specifically try to get out in front of those young adults because, you know, this information it might not be available to them in their normal everyday life if they were just, you know, going about their way? So is it hard getting in front of those people that might need a little extra help?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, Kristen, you've probably seen it organically happen where just word of mouth is a huge aspect. But there have been some other steps that you've taken in the past few years to really be able to reach those needs too.
Well, luckily, with the age of social media, we've been able to connect with a lot of people. Many of our guests have heard about us on Facebook or Eventbrite or from a friend or a family member or a neighbor. We definitely, word of mouth has brought in a large portion, I would say, of our young adult population specifically, because once the young adults become more comfortable, they start telling people in their environment about it, and it kind of spreads like that. Whereas I think with the elementary and middle school age, they tend to find us more on social media, because they know specifically what they're looking for. Whereas as a young adult, you're kind of tossed out in there and not sure which way.
Yeah, that's great to know. So one thing, Megan, that you brought up was this lovely pandemic that we're dealing with. So how is that impacting the resources that you're able to share and maybe some of the programs that you would normally hold now look completely different?
Yeah, it does look completely different. And we have certainly sought to adapt from the very beginning. We quickly realized that Zoom was going to be a wonderful tool for us as well as the general population. And we have taken all of our typical support groups and put them on Zoom and have had a really great and positive response from those who have been able to participate. And I know We've even seen some skill development and some opportunity for some really new skills to be worked on through this format. And I think that Kristen probably can expand on that, but it's been really neat to see it still be an opportunity for social engagement to thrive.
I would say being the different format and everyone sort of being forced to accept change at the same time was quite a shakeup for everyone's world. And out of it came some really amazing things in our groups. For example, our young women's group, one of our members tried out for Color Guard and made it. We in the young adult group have been processing a lot of autism related news that's been in the mainstream news, which isn't always very pleasant. And I feel that because we're not in person, it's sort of given everyone the opportunity to be a little more free with what they've been talking about emotionally. That something about having the separation of the screen has really moved specifically the young adult group forward. It's been really interesting to watch. The things that they've shared have been so much more personal than when we're at the center and everyone wants to play Super Smash Brothers or, you know, talk about what's been going on during the week. So that's been really amazing. But also working from home gave me the opportunity to start a cooking group, which I've always wanted to do because at the center, all of our cooking related activities are done in the microwave and on the hot plate. Whereas now, like yesterday, we made garlic parmesan cauliflower in the skillet. And next week, we're going to do something chocolate. That has been a lot of fun. I mean, for me specifically, but I would hope for the group as well.
Kristen's been able to start her own cooking show.
Yeah. which is less of an educational show and more of a let's learn together. Because I am not a chef, so it's been good. I got to introduce a late evening yoga and relaxation group. It's something that I do before bed every night, but since the center, people don't want to drive out, you know, at 8 o'clock at night and bust out their leggings and stuff. But I'm able to do that from home. So from the comfort of your home, you can sort of sit. And right now we're doing a lot of guided imagery and things like that, because it's nice. And for me personally, it's nice to have someone else to relax with, you know? So yeah, even though it's difficult not being able to see everyone and just be in person, I'm so proud of the way everyone has adapted and sort of gotten on board with doing things through Zoom.
How has your autism community handled or been affected by the pandemic in other ways as well? Not only, you know, with your classes, but I'm sure a lot of them were used to seeing people on a day-to-day basis. Now, you know, some of them their only time seeing people might be through your classes and programs that are now virtual.
That is something that's come up several times. Some of the attendees may not know why they've been so agitated, but from an outside perspective, it's because their daily life has been so disrupted. And like you said, they're not seeing their TSSs or their community inclusion specialists or their blended case managers. And that's been very hard. And each family is handling that sort of change differently. But I've been so proud of everyone who has been able to speak up about it sort of in the groups. So the families and the individuals are really adapting their lives the same way we are. And because autism so frequently has, it's sort of a comorbid diagnosis, many of our attendees have, you know, immunocompromised family members or themselves, or our young adult population is, you know, we're all very similar in age. They're all, you know, between 25 and 40, and I'm 38. So our parents are all aging. And so someone did thank me for that, because they said they definitely would have been coming to the center, but they live with aging parents. And that was definitely something that had come up. But I'm really proud. Everyone's been adapting very well. And, you know, the community in general has really come together to offer opportunities as well. You know, just via the internet or, you know, sort of creative ways to work things out. Like one of my young men goes to karate now, and it's being held outdoors in a park for the last few months. So they're doing all right.
Awesome. What ways has Parents in Toto been able to support these needs outside of, you know, some of the classes that we've talked about?
We have really tried to step forward with some educational material, some information. Our social media is active, where we're trying to share relevant tools such as social stories that can help to explain how to wear a mask, why other people are wearing a mask, why we need to wear masks, and also how that's going to look when some of them go back to school. We also try to talk a lot about anxiety support and management, because that's huge in the general population. And as Kristen mentioned, can oftentimes be amplified with other, you know, challenges, whether it's, you know, difficulty just understanding the situation can amplify anxiety, or sometimes there's actually an anxiety disorder that is present and makes it harder. So when the general society is dealing with an anxiety situation, it's certainly going to be something that our population is also processing. So trying to learn some, you know, the fact that Kristen's doing relaxation stuff is great, because that is huge need right now. Also trying to understand how to have these conversations with our individuals and our families of, you know, it's okay to talk through some of the difficulties of change and how much loss that can bring into our lives when we don't have the same routine. So we continue as a small nonprofit to really try to just have a ongoing steady presence through our Facebook page and as well through our email list, so that we can keep giving that kind of support and information and plug them into these types of support groups, expand our support groups so that they meet different needs, and really just make sure that we're reaching the families.
Trying to explain a pandemic to, you know, anyone on a daily basis isn't easy. Trying to explain it to someone that might have any type of mental or physical handicaps, that has to be even more of a stress, because how do you put it in the easiest of terms for anyone to understand?
Yeah, it certainly is challenging to boil down. I think the best way to go about doing it is just talk about the very immediate changes that have had to happen. And to a lot of individuals understand safety. And I feel like if we come at this from a concept of safety and that we're keeping ourselves safe, we're keeping others safe, and here are the steps that we need to take in order to do that, that's generally the first avenue for really tackling that. I mean, my kids are elementary age, and we've had to boil it down to that and also not try to get too complicated with facts, figures, or otherwise. That, I mean, even as an adult, that's something that can make me feel anxious when I try to get into that. So it's just so much more important of what are the steps we can take today? And as those shift and change, understanding that it's still not going to just like, okay, we're all back, we're reset it, start over. There's still a slow evolution and change. And I know a lot of families are dealing with that with the return to school, and how different that's going to look for so many people, whether it's online or in person.
Yeah, back to school is a whole nother stress level of anxiety for anyone. As if I could try to figure it out for you, there, every school district is doing something different some way, somehow. So that's a whole nother podcast episode, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
So what are the unique aspects of nonprofits, especially during this time, as, you know, your normal day-to-day has really been turned upside down?
Yeah, we continue to try to keep our presence online. So that's been a good thing that we already had that and that we've been able to maintain that. But it is weird to not be at our physical center consistently. And it definitely is an unusual situation to that we do so much in person over the past few years that we've had to really shift that, in addition to our fundraising and just having off the street inquiries. We have had a lot of that in the past and been able to share a lot that way. So we're slowly trying to figure out how to reopen our center in the safest and smartest way possible, and have started to have at least a few hours during the week where we're here for people to be able to do walk-ins, or and our phone line is always manned as well, whether we're open and present or not. And then we're also trying to adapt getting our fundraising message out, because as a nonprofit, that is our primary form of income and support for the physical center, as well as for our staffing and our group support.
So let's go there. Normally, I'm sure you would have had a fundraiser or two by now in 2020. How are you adapting to try to host one here for the remainder of the year?
Yeah, so we did have to cancel a few different outreach plans that we had on the schedule, whether it was you know, in-person type events or otherwise. But we have taken our main annual fundraiser, which is normally a cash bash in the past couple of years, our Heroes for Autism cash bash. We turned it into a Toto-thon. So we are going to kind of try and go a little bit old school with that, where we have that thon feel of entertainment and, you know, just fundraising and sharing about our mission to empower families and individuals. And we have decided to live stream that. So we've been practicing live streaming through Facebook and YouTube, and have found some support professionals to be able to help us with that voluntarily, which has been amazing. And we're working on selling tickets virtually. So we have an online ticket sales platform that people can purchase their tickets for that. And we're still going to be giving away cash sums for those ticket holders. So we're going to have a lot of fun with it. It'll be different because our cash bash has been hugely attended in the past at a fire hall. And since we have to shift that, we're encouraging people to do home parties with, you know, their inner circle of people that they're already socializing with, and to really join us to enjoy supporting the wonderful mission that we have at Parents and Toto.
Do you have a date for this Toto and Thon type of
event? Yes. Yep. The Toto Thon will be Friday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. And it's going to be, again, live streamed through Facebook as well as on YouTube. So even if someone doesn't have Facebook access, they will be able to see it through YouTube as well. And we have Ray Petlin, who is a KDKA meteorologist, joining us as our MC, and he'll be at the center helping pick the numbers of the winners and help share and host the evening as well.
That's amazing. And I'm sure not only is this information on your social media, but I'm sure it's on your website as well.
It is, yes. You can actually purchase tickets right through our website, and we continue to look for corporate sponsors to be able to make the fundraising successful so that we have all the sponsorship for it covered, and that way all the ticket purchases go right back to the center and our operating funds to be able to continue to offer all of our free programming.
Perfect. And what we'll do is in the show notes, we'll have direct links not only to the website, but for the Facebook page as well, to give more information, especially about this event in October. And that's a key thing we want to mention here is you offer these services free, which right, many people might not know, but that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's free. And we're also non-clinical, which I think for some families who've been in the world of autism, could appreciate that, because in the clinical world, which I used to work in, there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of hoops to jump through. There's a lot of, you got to see this person before you can see that person, before you can get these services set up and continue those types of things. We are non-judgmental and non-clinical, and pretty much anybody could ask to come be a part of our programs and benefit from that support, even if they're not sure if they are on the spectrum. And sometimes there's young adults where that's the case. They've gone through life with some social challenges or some school challenges, but they've never been formally diagnosed, we don't care. We think that there's a space for everybody. We know that they can benefit from the social support and the engagement. And we've had some who literally never were able to be a part of groups in person that have joined our online group and made friendships and been able to socialize and engage in those types of things during this pandemic that has been a real treasure. We've had parents tell us that they've, you know, really basically saved quarantine for them and their family because they gave their kids an outlet for socialization. And yes, we're completely free and willing to offer those services to anybody.
Do you ladies have any words of advice for those that, you know, maybe they're a little anxious in reaching out to a group like Parents in Toto or any organization that might be able to help, especially during this time? Is there something that you might be able to say that would help ease their thoughts?
Yeah, I think that one important thing with Parents in Toto is that we, not only will we help support them in finding if there's a good fit with us, but our goal is also to help them see if there's a good fit somewhere else too, and that there's different support services or even just conversations that they need to have. There's plenty of times when families call us and just want to talk through whether it's a recent diagnosis or a question of needing to get diagnosed or just challenges in life. And that is part of what we do. We are here to give that kind of support and that sounding board. And I do think that to speak to the anxiety that they might have about taking that first step, it's always harder to anticipate how challenging something could be. That's more where the anxiety can come from, is the anticipation. But in reality, when you go ahead and do it, the relief of actually taking that first step and getting support is big.
My message is just hope. I think that's what I'm here for, is I'll just keep doing it and I'll smile and you can keep coming back. And that's really, I was asked recently to write down a word that Parents in Toto made me think of, and hope was my word. Because I sincerely, that's my wish, is to be able to give hope to other people, because we're not the last stop on their journey with understanding autism or anxiety or you know, whatever their situation is. So I want them to be hopeful that there's more people out there like us who will help them and sort of like let them pass on to the next step, you know, with whatever they need.
That's amazing. Is there anything else that you ladies would like to mention today that we might have missed earlier?
No, we're very grateful to be able to share about our organization. We both feel very passionate about it, as well as do the other two women who work with us. And we're so thankful for the opportunity to continue to support families.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you for joining and giving us some of your time today. Please keep up the amazing work that you're both doing for Parents for Toto, as you've actually, this has been a great episode. I can't even express it enough just across the airwaves here, as I'm super impressed with what you ladies have done, are doing, and continue to offer those in need.
Thank you.
For Armstrong in the Loop podcast, I'm Seth Prentice, keeping you in the loop.
Are you enjoying Armstrong in the Loop podcast? Great news! All past and current episodes are available on popular streaming apps and websites. Search Armstrong in the Loop podcast and subscribe today.
When it comes to internet service, you get it all with Zoom from Armstrong. There's unlimited data for unlimited downloads, low latency for seamless streaming and gaming, plus an unmatched fiber network for speeds that can't be beat. Find out for yourself. Go to armstrongonewire.com/zoom and get high-speed internet for as low as $34.95 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. Just internet made easy. That's Zoom Internet from Armstrong.